We're turning this morning to the Old Testament and to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. While you're turning up that portion of Scripture, I'd like to thank the Reverend Cairns again for his words of welcome. I'd like to thank him also for the invitation and the opportunity to preach here in the church in Greenville. We did say on Wednesday night that we sat under a brother's ministry and teaching for 4 years in the theological hall, and certainly had many blessed times. But at the same time, we certainly have sympathy with those who are going into the theological hall here. It is a standing joke in Ulster that whenever you go through the theological hall, you really believe that the church goes through the tribulation. The only problem is the tribulation period is supposed to be 3 years. We did four, so we got an extra year of tribulation period. But nevertheless, they were good times, and we enjoyed fellowship with the other students as we labored together in that hall. We do remember the church here often in our prayers in Newton Abbey. And certainly I would cherish your prayers for us as we go back again. As our brother was saying, Newton Abbey is quite a large area, covers 209 square miles, and it has one of the biggest housing estates in the British Isles, a place called Rathcoole, with 4,500 homes. It's almost a town in itself, and certainly sin and apostasy is rife in Newton Abbey. So we would indeed cherish your prayers very much. Indeed. Now we're turning to Ezekiel chapter 37, and we're commencing our reading at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. And we'll end our reading there with the prayer that God will add his blessing to this reading of his own inspired and infallible word. Perhaps we could just bow our heads together for a word of prayer. The prayer that the Holy Spirit this day will open our hearts to the word, and in turn that he'll open the word even to our hearts. Our loving Father and our gracious God, we do bless thee and we praise thee for this opportunity of again approaching the mercy seat. We thank thee that there God hears and answers prayer. Dear Lord, we look to thee for answers to prayer this day. Lord, thou knowest how much we need thee. We ask our God that thou would help us this day in the proclamation of the word of God. We pray, Lord, that everything that will be said will be thus saith the Lord. We pray, our God, that there will be nothing of man or of self or of flesh, but that everything will go down to the honor and to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Lord, we thank thee for that name that is above every name, in hell or earth or sky, men and angels before it fall, and devils fear and fly. We thank thee that he breaks the power of canceled sin, sets the prisoners free, and his blood can make the foulest clean. And praise God, his blood avails for me. Lord, cleanse us afresh now in the blood. Empty us, Lord, and fill us with thy power. For we do claim now afresh the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might be enabled to preach Christ, and him crucified, him risen, exalted, and coming again. We ask these things in the Savior's blessed name. Amen. The book of the prophet Ezekiel may be divided into three sections. First section, chapters 1 through to 3, deal with the call and the preparation of the prophet himself. Then the second section, chapters 4 through to chapter 31, deals with a portrayal of the apostate condition of the people and the nation of Israel. And whenever you look at that second section in Ezekiel, you will find there not only the apostate condition of the land and the people, but you will find also God's judgment upon apostasy. And you see, apostasy never goes unnoticed and never goes unpunished by a holy God. Then the third section, chapters 33 through to the end, chapter 48, deals with predictions and promises concerning the means by which the glory of the nation is to be restored. The chapter which concerns us today is in this third section. And in this chapter we have a great promise to Israel of revival and of restoration. Israel had been scattered among her enemies, and was so destitute of all help, and in such a hopeless and helpless state, that she is portrayed here for us as a valley of dry bones. We might say here that in this chapter 37, we have revival in a boneyard. And yet for this boneyard, there is a promise for reviving and restoration. You know, whenever we look at this chapter 37 and we survey the landscape of this boneyard, I'm sure every one of us would be looking upon very familiar ground. As far as I am concerned, and I speak of my own country of Ulster,
Whenever I look at Ezekiel 37 and then lift up my eyes and behold the state of Ulster, I see it indeed as a valley of dry bones. And I'm sure that you hear as Americans, as you look upon your own nation, and you behold this great nation of America, you would indeed also, I'm sure, behold it as a valley of dry bones, destitute of revival and destitute of holiness and zeal for the things of God. So it was with Israel. And if there was a need in Ezekiel's day for revival, is there not a need for revival today in Ulster and a need for revival today in America? I'm sure we would all agree to that. So let us look today at this revival in a boneyard. We're told in that verse 1 that the hand of the Lord was upon me. 'Tis my prayer that this day that the hand of the Lord will be that will have done with lesser things and will get down to the business of living for God and seeing souls saved to the glory of our Savior. First of all, we notice the valley, the place for revival. Whenever the prophet had looked upon this valley of dry bones, God informed him of something. Verse 11, then he said unto me, Son of Man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. So we find that this valley of dry bones, by the word of the Lord, is the house of Israel. But not only were they the people of Israel, we find that they were also the people of God. For look there at verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, behold, O my people. And so whenever Ezekiel came to proclaim the word of the Lord, who was he addressing? Who was he preaching to? He was preaching to the people of God. And here is the vision that God gave to Ezekiel. The valley of dry bones is the people of God. So this is God's people. And the people of God today need revival. Must begin with personal revival before we can know national revival. Must have personal revival before we can have church revival. Must begin with us, the people of the Lord. And of this place we see firstly it was a valley of death. Everything about this valley just seemed a reek of death. We have such words in the portion as bones and graves. We have the word slain. We're told that the people needed life. And so everything in this valley seemed to be ruled by death. And surely, dear child of God, as we look upon the Church of Jesus Christ today, and we examine the lives of many of God's people, death seems to rule their life. There doesn't seem to be much evidence of life about them. Believers whose zeal turned to the dust years ago. Believers whose zeal has turned to lukewarmness and complacency. They're not living out and out for God. They're not on fire for God. Instead, they're like a people in the valley of dry bones. Believers who have been slain by worldliness. They've been embalmed, as it were, by apostasy and modernism. And that's where we find most of the church today. It's in the valley of dry bones. Whenever we look upon ourselves today, If we just take time and examine ourselves personally, let us ask ourselves, is the zeal there that we once had for God? Is there the love there for the book and the place of prayer that we once had? Do we not see it in the church today? In the valley of dry bones. Oh, that this very day we would hear the word of God as it came through the Apostle Paul, whenever he said in Ephesians 5:14, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." Paul wasn't preaching to sinners. Paul wasn't speaking to the unregenerate. He was speaking to God's people. And he said, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light." Whenever the prophet viewed this place for revival, he saw a valley of death, but he also witnessed a valley of decay. For he says, we're told there in that verse 1, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." There's decay there in that valley. All flesh had decayed from the carcasses. There were only the bones. There was the decay of the sinews that we read about. Sinews, that's what holds the bones together. There had been the decay of the flesh, that which fills up the hollowness of the bones and brings and fills up the body full of muscle, that which gives the body its motion and its strength and its vitality and its power, the flesh and the sinews had all decayed. And the skin, we're told, had decayed, this being the outer silken garment of the body, which gives to the body its beauty. It had all gone. It was only left the bones. And there we have a picture of the church today. Let's look at the sinews in the church of Jesus Christ today. There's the sinews of fellowship. There's the sinews of brotherly love. You know the thing that is the greatest barrier to revival today is indifference among God's people. I think that one thing that I have to deal with more often among the children of God in my own church is children of God falling out with one another. The pastor's time is taken up more with going and reconciling God's people. Now, you're not going to believe this, but at one of our church services, it was a special weekend of meetings, and at the end of our, in the midweek or in the weekly meetings in these particular special services, we always have tea and refreshments afterwards. And this lady was walking up the aisle with a tray of sandwiches, and she was taking them up to the pulpit for the preacher or the preachers. And this lady was sitting in the pew, and she wanted one of the sandwiches. But the lady that had the tray went on ahead up to the pulpit. And that lady who didn't get a sandwich fell out with everybody in the church. Can you believe that? Fell out over a sandwich of bread. You know, that's what it is today right across the board. People will fall out with one another over the smallest and the silliest things. And one of the greatest barriers to revival is God's people not speaking to each other, not in brotherly fellowship one with the other. Sinews of fellowship and togetherness and brotherly love decayed.
The flesh, as it's spoken of here in this passage, the flesh of the body, the flesh, of course, in me, would be the spiritual strength of the body.
That's where the muscle is found. And you know, whenever we look at God's people today and the church today, the strength of the church and the strength of the child of God seems to have decayed. There's not the same love for the place of prayer. Prayer, that which gives the church its power. A prayerless church will be a powerless church.
Why are so many churches today without power? Because God's people don't pray. They don't pray. The skin of the body, as it's set out for us here in Ezekiel 37, that which gives the body its beauty. Let me ask you, what is the beauty of any church? Some today think the beauty of a church is big numbers. The beauty of a church today is its holiness.
Its holiness. When men and women love God, when men and women are separated from the world and sin, and they show forth the beauty and the glory of the Lord. That's the glory. That's the beauty of a church.
Is its holiness. And its high standard of righteousness and purity. But whenever Ezekiel looked upon this people, he saw that this had all decayed. And he says in the verse 2, and lo, they were very dry. That would tell us that they were in this condition for a long time. Dear child of God, I know not, are very few here this morning. How long has it been since you have known the fire of zeal burning in your heart? How long has it been since you've been living out and out for God? How long has it been since you've surrendered yourself unconditionally to God and His work? Are we not very dry today? The zeal and the fire and the love for the things of God have decayed. Oh, that today we might know reviving. Let it come.
Let it come! O Lord, we pray Thee, let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting, and we are expecting. Oh, revive the hearts of all.
You will find not only was it a valley of death and a valley of decay, but it was a valley of despair. Look at verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. The valley of despair said their hope was lost. You know, whenever we think of our own land of Ulster, of 12 and 13 years of terrorism, quite often Ulster has become a valley of despair. We wonder, is it ever going to come to an end? Is the murdering and the bombing and the maiming ever going to stop? And often we have cried out, our hope is lost. Seems as if we're cut off from the world. Yes, and we have to admit it that at times it seems as if we're cut off from God. Seem to be left alone. Maybe there are times you feel that about your own country. Sin is rife. Apostasy is in every hand. And you wonder after years and years of praying, will there ever be revival? Feel that our hope is cut off. That's something we need to realize today. But whenever we realize and we come to that part and that place and realize that this is not the work of God, not the work of man, it's the work of God, then we'll be on the first foot for revival. Then you'll notice, secondly, the vital precepts for revival. The prophet informs us of some vital precepts we must follow if the Church of Christ is to know revival. Firstly, the people of God need a revelation. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. The hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel. And when the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel, he had a revelation, or he had a vision of the state of the people of God. And you know, I believe that this is another barrier to revival. We haven't yet got a revelation of our state before God. And you know, it's the old flesh and the old man that tells us everything is well. We're living pretty well for the Lord. We need a revelation. We need a revelation to see ourselves as God sees us. And listen, whenever we get our eyes upon Christ, then we'll see how we really are. For whenever we see Christ's holiness, what will we see in ourselves only but our own sin? Whenever we see in Christ his humility, what will we behold in ourselves but our ambition and our pride? That's what we need. We need a revelation. We need to see ourselves as we really are. You'll notice concerning this revelation of Ezekiel that he received, that the Lord, we're told in the verse 1, set me down in the midst of the valley. That's a phrase we don't often come across, because we often pray to the Lord for him to lift us up. And the Lord often and repeatedly tells us he'll lift us up. But here we have an occasion when God brings down. And before Israel could be lifted up by the mighty reviving hand of God, Ezekiel, this man of God, had to be set down. Need to be brought down. Brought right down to the place of humility. To the place where he could see clearly the true state of Israel. You know, we who live up there, our head in the clouds all the time, we'll not be seeing ourselves as we really are. We need the Lord to bring us down first. And then, whenever we are down, the Lord will lift us up, because the Lord exalts the humble. Ezekiel had a revelation. Ezekiel had something else. He had a realization. Look at verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? There's a question, and it's put to the prophet. And God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And there's Ezekiel, and he's looking upon the valley of dry bones. There's no life there. There's no sign of life at all. And God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel replies, O Lord God, thou knowest. Ezekiel had to realize that if these bones were to live, it had to be a work of God.
And you know, we seem to get something into our mind that a revival comes to this land, or to my own land of Ulster, that will come through the hand of man, and because of the efforts of man. Not at all.
It's a work of God. We need to realize that it's God that sends revival.
It's not something that is emotionally whipped up in the heart or the mind, or we could say the flesh of man. It must come from God.
That's where revival comes. And we need to realize that. And again, speaking of my own country, if Ulster is to be brought back from the brink, if Ulster is to be saved from ever falling under the fires of God's wrath, it must be God that does it. And if America is to be saved, it must be through God. His power. And then you'll find also in this passage of Scripture the valiant preaching for revival. Whenever the prophet received this vision of a revelation of the sad state of the house of Israel, God then commissioned him to preach. Verse 4, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And we are to know revival, there needs to be a getting back to the old time preaching. Valiant, victorious, and powerful preaching of the word. Let us look at the preaching of Ezekiel. I notice, first of all, it was faithful preaching. Because we read in verse 4, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. There was God's message to Ezekiel. Now how did Ezekiel deliver it? Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. He was faithful in his preaching. He didn't deviate from the word of God. That's the curse of any nation. What is it to deviate from the word? It's apostasy. It's a falling away from the truth. Why are nations given into the hand of her enemies? Because of the apostasy in the land. You look at Israel over and over and over again. And every time Israel deviated from walking with God and from the word and the commands of God, Israel was handed over to her enemies. We see this faithful preaching of Ezekiel. It was descriptive preaching. Because we're told, prophesy upon verse 4, upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones. And whenever you look at Ezekiel's preaching, you find that that's what he called Israel. Dry bones. He didn't call them by anything else. And you know, the sad thing is today, that in many preaching circles, men do not like to denounce sin as sin. That's what's wrong. Oh, they tell us today man's not too bad. That man is this and man is that, and sin's just looked upon as a little mistake. Not at all. Sin is any transgression of the law of God. And we're all born in sin, totally, absolutely depraved. And that's the kind of preaching that brings revival under the power of God. Descriptive preaching. The man's going to hell because he's without Christ, and we need to tell him he's going to hell. he's not born again. It was direct preaching. God had revealed to him the truth about the house of Israel. And whenever Ezekiel got up to preach, he directed his words straight at the people of Israel. And again, making reference to Ulster, there are many today there in the apostasy and the modernistic movements, and they call themselves evangelicals. Say they're saved men. And yet if you were to sit under their ministry, the gospel is so hidden, you just couldn't find it at all. They maybe go so far, but they always stop short. And you're left groping in the dark. Not so with Ezekiel. He didn't leave anybody in any doubt. Whenever he preached to Israel, he preached directly to them. No, David Eden. Directly to the people. God says you're a valley of dry bones. It was also fearless preaching. Let's just imagine here, whenever we take this word of the Lord to Ezekiel, he was told to go and preach to a valley of dry bones. Can you just imagine someone doing that? Preaching to a valley of dry bones. Anybody perhaps would have seen him preaching to a valley of dry bones and said he's a very foolish man. Yet God had told him to do it. He was fearless, didn't care what anybody thought. He didn't care what anybody said. He was going to preach the word fearlessly. And you look at the men of the Word of God, and in the eyes of the world, they did things that were foolish. Yet they were the commands of God. Look at Noah. God told Noah to build an ark. Can you imagine the ridicule that came Noah's way when he was building? But Noah did it fearlessly. Can you think how foolish Abraham looked whenever God told him to get out of Ur of the Chaldees onto the land that I will show you off? Can you just imagine Abraham that day packing up? Can you just imagine what it would be like in your own home? The furniture removal van draws up outside and you get all the furniture out and all your belongings. The neighbors come to see him saying, where are you going to? And you tell them, I don't know. I know what they'll be thinking about you. But here's Abraham. And that's exactly what he did, but he was doing it at the command of God. He went out fearlessly. You think of Joshua. Whenever he knew the victory over Jericho. Marching round and round and round the walls. What a way to fight a battle. What a way to take a city. But it was the way God told him. And he did it fearlessly. And God on every occasion gave the victory. And so it was with Ezekiel. And so it must be with us. No matter how foolish preaching the powerful gospel of Christ may seem in the eyes of the world, we need to do it because God commands us to do it. And then there is, finally here, the victorious power of revival. Ezekiel experienced the power of the Word of God, for whenever he began to preach, things began to happen. You know, whenever a man preaches the Word of God faithfully and fearlessly, inevitably things begin to happen. And so it was with Ezekiel. We see the result. Because verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Whenever he had finished preaching, or even as he was preaching, things began to happen.
God began to move in the valley of dry bones. Oh, may God give us power and give us voices to preach the old-time religion. And preach the word of the living God in all of its fullness and all its purity. For when that happens, things begin to happen. You remember over there in David's day, in 2 Samuel 5 and 22, and the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees, and let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." Isn't that what we're looking for? We're looking for a stirring in the valley of dry bones. We're looking for a movement in the tops of the mulberry trees. We're looking for that experience that Elijah had, that whenever the false prophets of Baal were slain, and Elijah started to pray, he kept sending his servant to go and look in the sky. And seven times he went, and then he brought back the report, "Elijah, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand." It was the sound, he heard it by faith, the sound of abundance of rain. That's what we want, isn't it? May we see the stirring, may you see the stirring here in America, may we see it in Ulster. But there was one thing still missing. Verse 8 we're told, "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them." One thing was missing. And in verse 9 we have the request. "Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." Unless, and let us get this into our hearts, unless the breath of God, unless the Spirit of God moves, there will never be revival. Must be a move of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't matter how we feel. Doesn't matter what we think. There must be a move of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. I'm sure Mr. Cairns has often referred to the 1859 revival there was in Ulster then. And how, through the prayers of people, God's Holy Spirit began to move. People would have been walking to their work, and under the move of the Holy Ghost, they came under deep conviction of sin. And it was not an uncommon sight to see men on their knees at the side of the road crying to God for mercy. In one little village of Clackmills, there was a prayer meeting of over 3,000 people. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of souls were saved. Many church buildings were put up to accommodate the people. That's a move of the Holy Ghost. That's not the work of man. And then you will find there was here the reviving, for verse 10 tells us, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." There was the reviving of Israel. They stood up, they lived. What did we see at the beginning? A valley of death and decay. But now, through the work of God, they live. Oh, that America and Ulster would live with the fires of revival. And our God is able. For Ezekiel's God is our God today. Elijah's God is our God today. He's still the same. Hallelujah, he's still the same. Hasn't changed. He hasn't changed.
You notice verse 7, there was the reconciliation. Because we're told in the verse 7 that the bones came together. You know, whenever revival comes, God's people will get right with each other. When the Spirit moves in hearts, all petty differences will be done away with. Men and women will get down together to the business of prayer. That's what we need. There was the resurrection. Verse 10 tells us they stood up. They stood up. We need to get up out of our complacency. We need to be resurrected out of the grave of our lukewarmness and our lack of zeal. We need to stand up. And then there was the regimentation. For verse 10 tells us that there was. And the breath came into them and they lived and stood up upon their feet. An exceeding great army. You know, the church should have power today. The church should be even as Solomon tells us in the Song of Solomon. Fair as the sun, clear as the moon, and terrible as an army with banners. May God make this church as an exceeding great army. Terrible as an army with banners. May God make my church at home an exceeding great army. Terrible as an army with banners that will strike terror into the hearts of those that stand up against the Lord. May God send us revival. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving Father and our gracious God, we thank Thee, Lord, and we praise Thee that Thou art the God of revival. Lord, we believe that Thou art able still to do great things for us, whereof we will be glad. And dear Lord, we would say with the psalmist, it is time, Lord, for Thee to work, for they have made void Thy law. And we know, Lord, that across the world, men and women today have trampled the law of God underfoot. Lord, we pray that Thou would get us back to the old paths. And Lord, for Thy children, yea, Lord, for me, revive me again. Lord, give us this day personal and powerful revival. Let it come, O Lord, we pray Thee. Lord, may even this day, may we hear by faith the sound of abundance of rain. Lord, answer prayer. Bless Thy child and Thy servant as he ministers here week by week. Bless this congregation. Lord, may it be a thorn in the flesh of apostasy and modernism. And our God, we pray that many, many souls on that great day will be able to say of this place, I was born there. Answer prayer. Bless us throughout this day. Keep us near the cross. Save souls tonight. And for any here this morning without the Savior, without Christ, on the road to a Christless eternity, Lord, save them by Thy grace. We pray in the Savior's blessed name. Amen.